Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's a new day. Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Time has changed. Oh, my. Time has changed. And I am not happy about it. I am not happy about it. All this time changing is unnecessary. At least that's my perspective of the thing. It's like pick a time and stick with it. Because this every 6 months, we got to change the time. It's just a little much for me. But I am grateful. I am thankful. And I'm truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through God's word. And God's word is magnificent today. It is magnificent. And we are going to magnify the Lord today in his word. Because what God says he will do, he will do. You can take it to the bank. God is good and greatly to be praised. So let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for a new day. Lord, I say every morning, and I thank you again. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am blessed for a new day. And, Lord, I'm blessed for a new year. Thank you for allowing me to live another year and celebrate my birthday today. I'm happy, Lord, to have another day and have another opportunity. God, because you are so good, and I'm so grateful that you love me enough to allow me to live another day and to celebrate another year. But Lord God, you could have took me out on January 17th. It could have been my last day, but you said not today. And so Father God, I'm so thankful that you chose me to give me more time. And I'm thankful that you love me to not let there be one broken bone, one scratch, and then to provide me with new transportation. You did that, God, and I don't take any credit. I don't give anybody credit but you. And I thank you, Father God, that you have given me these years to do what I do for you, to be on this blog. And Lord, I ask you to continue blessing each and every listener with health, with their finances, with hope in the future, God. But your word is true in every word that we read, Lord God. Helps us to be better. So Lord, I shout out my son, my gift from you. My birthday present, the greatest birthday present I've ever received with him. And I ask you to bless him, oh God, to bless him with everything that he needs and more than he could ever desire on his birthday as well. For Lord, you know the situation that he has. And I ask you, Lord God, to give him favor. In the name of Jesus, Father God, give him favor. And Father, I just ask you to continue guiding my family and thanking you for all the women of my church, Lord God, who we made this past weekend so beautiful. Lord God, I shout out to my pastor this morning and ask you to bless her in her coming in and bless her in her going out as she asked to go to a funeral to take care of her family that is passed on, to be with her family that is passed on. Father God, you are of our life. You are in charge of our destinations and our destinies. Lord God, I ask you to continue please, Lord, watch over the innocent people of Ukraine and end this horrible war. Let repentance happen, Lord God, that this awful war will stop. Father God, let us have a day of fasting and prayer for Ukraine and for the people of this world that are dealing with conflicts and war. And Father God, we ask you to give leadership, heart, or compassion that we will not have another world war. For Lord God, you are in charge of everything. And we know that the Savior is coming back, but only you know the time. So Father God, I lift up and look up and know that everything will work for our good as long as we are trusting in you. So Father God, I ask you to please watch over all of your children on this planet. Cover us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet with the blood of Jesus. Put your mark of holiness on us, Lord God, that our light will shine into the darkness, that the darkness will have no place to run, but to the light. Father God, I ask you again to let this word, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. And it is in your precious and holy name that I lift up this word, asking you, Father God, as always, to increase as I decrease. Let the words I speak be the words that you need me to speak. May I speak nothing more and nothing less. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You get filled up when you think about children dying in conflict that are the result of adults not growing up and wanting your ball and their ball too. We have to pray and continue pray. And I just say we need a fast, a world fast, and a world day of prayer, because we as men and women of God understand that prayer changes things. Prayer changes everything. Pray some more for the people of Ukraine and for the people of this world. Because a conflict in one part of the world can also create a conflict in another part of the world. We got to pray. Look up and believe that our Father God can change everything. Great is his name. So let's get into our word this morning. We are coming out of Numbers chapter 25 and 26. Key word is in Psalms chapter 34. We also will be in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28, which we will read first. And it is, he who trusts in his riches will fall, for the righteous will flourish like foliage. And that is a word for those that have all kind of money, but no soul. God is in charge of everything. And when folks understand it, realize it, and know that God is the author and God is the finisher of our faith. And when we remember that, everything else to place, give honor to God and let God walk. Let God be the one in charge of everything. We are all the children of God. And we should remember that as we move forward in our life, as we move forward in hope, as we move forward, remember, God has the final say. So let's get into the word of God. And it says, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. and they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill the men who were joined to Baal-peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and all, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cosby, the daughter of Zor. He was head of the people of her father's house, the Midian. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harassed you with their schemes of which they seduced you in a manner of Peor, in the manner of Cosby, the daughter of a leader of Midianite, their sister, who was killed in the day of the plague because of Peor. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and Eleazar, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that again. I had just finally got it right. The son of Aaron, the priest, came, took a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and above by their father's houses, all who are able to go to war in Israel. So Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spoke with them, plays of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, take a census of the people from 20 years old and above, just as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, who came out of the land of Egypt. Now understand, we're talking 40 years now. They've been out there 40 years. And now it's getting close to the time for them to go finally into the promised land. So let's keep moving and see what's going on. Reuben was the firstborn of Israel. The children of Reuben were Hanok, the family of the Hanokanites; Bulu, the family of the Bulites; of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites; of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites. Those who were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Bulu were Elab. The sons of Elab were Nimrod, Dathan, and Abram. These were the Dathan and Abram representatives of the congregation who attended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against the Lord. So let's go back to that again. The sons of Elab were Nimrod, Dathan, Abram. These are the Dathan and Abram, representatives of the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the in the company of Korah when they contended against the Lord, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, together with Korah when the company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. The son of Simeon, according to their families, were Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, Jachin, the family of the Jachinites, Zerah, the family of the Zerahites, Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The sons of Gad, according to their families, were of Zephon, the family of Zephonites, Haggai, the family of the Haggites, Shuni, the family of the Shunites, of Osni, the family of the Osnites, Ir, the family of the Irites, Era, the family of the Eridites, of Ariel, the family of the Aralites. These are the families of the sons of Gad, according to those who were numbered, of them 40,500. The sons of Judah were Ur and Onan. Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelahites, Perez, the family of the Perizzites, Jerah, the family of the Zerahites, and the sons of Perez were Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, and Hemu, the family of the Hemuelites. These are the families of Judah, according to those who were numbered of them, 76,500. The sons of Issachar, according to their families, were Tola, the family of the Tolites, Pua, the family of the Punites, Jashub, the family of the Jeshubites, Shema, the family of the Shemaranites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those who were numbered of them, 64,300. The sons of Zebulun, according to their families, were of Shirah, the family of the Shardites, Elion, the family of the Elonites, Jael, the family of the Zerahites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those who were numbered of them, 60,500. The sons of Joseph, according to their families, by Manasseh and Ephraim, were the sons of Manasseh, Mishkar, the family of the Meshkanites, Kerites, Mishkar, we got Gilead, the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Jezreel, the family of the Jezreelites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, of Ezra, the family of the Ezraelites, and Shechem, the family of the Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, Shemidia, the family of the Shemidites, and Hefer, the family of the Heferites. Now Zelophah had the son of Hefer, had no sons but daughters, and the names of the daughters of Zelophah had were Mila, Noah, Hagla, Melchon, and Tarza. These are the families of the Manasseh, and those who were numbered of them were 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, according to their families. Shethariah, the family of the Shethahites, of Becher, the family of the Becherites, of Tehan, the family of the Tehanites. And these are the sons of Shethariah, of Aaron, the family of the Aaronites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those who were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph, according to their families. The sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Bela, the family of the Belites, Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, Aharam, the family of the Aharamites, Shapham, the family of the Shaphamites, Shupham, and the family of the Shuphamites. And the sons of Bela were Ered and Naaman, Ered, the family of the Ardites, and Naaman, the family of Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan according to their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites, These are the families of Dan according to their families. All the families of the Shemites, according to those who were numbered of them, were 64,400. The sons of Asher, according to their families, were Jamina, the family of the Jemites. Jeshu, the family of the Jesuits. Berahi, the family of the Berahites. The sons of Berah, Heber, the family of the Heberites. Malchi, the family of the Malchites. And the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. According to those who were numbered of them, 53,400. The sons of Naphtali, according to their families, was Jezreel, the family of the Jezreelites. Guni, the family of the Gunites. Jezar, the family of the Jezreelites. Shalom, the family of the Shalomites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families. And those who were numbered of them were 45,400. These are those who were numbered of the children of Israel, 601,730. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, to thee, the land shall be divided as an inheritance according to the number of men. To a large tribe you shall give a larger inheritance, and to a small tribe you shall give a small inheritance. Each shall be given its inheritance according to those who were numbered of them, but the land shall be divided by lot. They shall inherit according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. According to the lot, their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller. And these are those who were numbered of the Levites, according to their families, of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, Korah, the family of the Korahites, Merari, the family of the Merarites, of the Levites, the family of the Lemnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Melites, and the family of the Meshites, and the family of the Korahites. And the Korahites begot Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses, and their sister Miriam. To Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu from the offered profane fire before the Lord. Now those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and above, but they were not numbered among the other children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. These were those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, across from Jericho. But among these were not the men of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron, the priest, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. So there was not left a man of them except Machu, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Whatever God says he would do, you better believe he would do it. And he told those hard-hearted, stiff-necked folks, not one of you will make it into the promised land, because they did not follow God. And as we go back into some life lessons from Numbers 25 and 2, they invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Even a polite invitation to worship any god other than the Lord ought to be immediately and firmly rejected. We are to serve God alone, no exceptions. Do you hear me? We are to serve God alone, no exceptions. We can't be out there worshiping anything and everything. Oh, I'm just going to worship this, but wrong, man. Oh, well, you know, I just look up and I worship the sun and the moon and the stars because I'm just so grateful. Wrong, man. we do not worship. Well, I'm going to worship at this cross because Jesus died. Wrong. We do not worship anything. And you definitely, he told us in Exodus that we don't even worship wood. I know Jesus died on the cross. I wear a cross, actually, but I don't worship it. I wear it as a reminder. When the enemy comes at me, Jesus died for you. Stand strong. Jesus died for you. That's a reminder of the Savior. But I'm not going to worship it. I'm not going to bow down to it. Because then it becomes a symbol of idolatry. I'm not bowing down to a statue. Because, again, it becomes idolatry. We have to be careful because idolatry is totally against God. You cannot worship at the feet of statues. Remember, Daniel went into a lion's den. Remember the three Israelite boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Said, nah, not today. I'll go into that fiery furnace. And they was like, and if I die, and that's a paraphrase. Bottom line is, they went in and God went in with them. Because they were not afraid. And we can't walk in fear either. And life example for number. And it says, Phinehas, a man with a zeal for God. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, and the grandson of the high priest Aaron, was a man noted by God for his zeal. God highly esteemed him and gave him a remarkable promise to become his pastor. Numbers 25:12-13. And how did Phinehas earn such favor? He took a javelin in hand and executed a wicked Israelite who had brazenly committed adultery with a pagan woman in full sight of the nation. The quick action of Phinehas stopped the divine plague that took the lives of 24,000 sinning Israelites, and the Lord loved him for his godly zeal. As believers, we ought to have a passion for God. Today, the word passion often carries a sexual connotation, but the true meaning of the word is an overwhelming, strong desire, which can be a strong desire for matters of the Spirit. Like Phinehas, believers are to have an urgency, a fervor, a zealous desire for the Lord and everything related to him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Phinehas was not playing. Numbers 25:18, they harassed you with their schemes by which they seduce. Satan has his own people who scheme to seduce God's people into sin. We must remain aware of their traps and escape from them by knowing God's word and depending on God's power. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God today. Numbers 26:65, there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. God has said that all those who had accepted the spies' report and refused to entertain it would die in the wilderness, and his word came true. It always does. Remember that. God's word is true, and it always comes true. Whatever thus says the Lord, you better believe it. Excuse me. Got a tickle today. But I'm grateful to be here. Grateful to be alive. Grateful to know that I am a child of God and that he loves me and he loves you. And again, for those who would like to call in instead of coming on social media, the number is 213-943-3597. And the lines open at 7213-943-3597 is the call-in number if you would like to listen in by phone and not social media. So thank you very much again. All those that listen in, I thank God for you. And, of course, you can always go to Blog Talk Radio and look up Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And, again, we are 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Regardless of when the time changes, fog back, move forward, we stay the same time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. So thank you so much, and let's continue in our word. In Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 through 7, which is our word for today. And it says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, family, today. I am grateful. I am thankful. I am blessed. And I know you are thankful, grateful, and blessed as well to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. For God always gets the glory. Praise the name of the Lord who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. The highest praise we give is hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to praise you. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God who loves me. Praise the Lord with me today. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And I love the word that the life lessons this morning I did. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Even if it's not your practice, pick a day this week and praise God. Throughout the day, praise him when you wake up, praise him when you eat, praise him when you leave the house, and when you return. Hallelujah. I praise you this morning, Father God. I praise you for a new day. I praise you for a new year. I praise you for another opportunity to serve you, Lord. I just give you honor. I give you glory. And I give you praise. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me, family? Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name. And let us exalt his name together. And let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And we are coming out of Mark chapter 13. And we are in verses 21 through 37 this morning. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But taking, see, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also know when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray. Ooh, I love that word. You do not know when the time is. Every time my husband and I would visit my mother-in-law and travel, she would always end as we were leaving, watch as well as pray. That was her standing line. Take heed, watch, and pray. But you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his home and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or midnight, at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest coming suddenly you find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And that is our word this morning and a couple of life lessons from the book of Mark. Take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. Why does Jesus tell us of frightful things like persecution and suffering? Because it's happening in our generation. It's happening to the people of Ukraine. It's happened to certain countries in Africa. It's happened in different places, including this United States. It was awful. Slavery was awful. Don't let anybody tell you that history is not important. Persecution and suffering happened right here in this nation. We have got to stop all the bigotry and hatred because someone don't look like you. No one is a servant to anyone. We are all children of God. And we've got to let all that extra go. Hatred over everything. And I'm speaking to Christians. Quit being hateful. You are running people away from the Most High. We've got to walk right and talk up. And it says this, I'm going to say it one more time. Why does Jesus tell us frightful things like persecution and suffering so that it will not surprise us when it comes? It will come regardless, and its prophecies of it simply demonstrate his great grace. Be grateful God has given this nation grace. Even in its wickedness, he has given us beyond measure because we are sons and daughters of God and we believe. Mark 13:34, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and recommended the doorkeeper to watch. God gives each of us our own work. We talk about it all the time. It's time to go to work. We all have assignments to do. We all have jobs to do. We all have something to do, and we need to go to work for God. God gives each of us our own work. He expects us to faithfully discharge whatever duties he may have given us in Jesus' absence. And always, we are to remain vigilant and watch for his return. And that is our word this morning before we get out of here. A word from our sister in Christ and a prayer from our prayer book. And a word from our sister in Christ this morning is this. Good morning. When you are starting to feel defeated, that is the best time to push. Woo, pray. until something happens. Prayer changes things. Have a mellow Monday. And I am just so grateful because right again, I'm not sure if that's proper English, but again, our sister in Christ, right there, didn't have any idea what I would say this morning. But I say this again, we need to fast and we need to pray for our world, not just Ukraine, not just America, but for our world. The enemy is busy, but we are more powerful because of the power. And this is the word of God. Ooh, what a mighty word this morning, our prayer. But today is laying down weapons. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Woo! In Exodus 14:14. And this morning, I spoke to someone, and I told them that God would fight for them. But they had to give whatever the situation was to the Lord. What a mighty word. God is good. Mighty God, you are my defender. I lay down my right to self-defense and demanding my side be known. I will rest in you, believing that you have got me. You will do what I could never do. Lord, when I am tempted to fight my own battles, I'm reminded that you are stronger and much more capable of doing the job than I will ever be. I won't fight for my own honor, but I will willingly hide in your shadow, letting you take the lead. I rest in you with peace unshakable, for you honor me even when others seek to rip me to shreds. I will not be distracted by those trying to pick a fight. No, I will keep on the track that you have put me on to let you deal with the hecklers. I will continue on the path of love, knowing I am following in your steps. I know you've got this. And this is the question that is asked of this prayer. Have you been fighting a battle that is wearing you down? We all have been there. We all have done that. We all have fought the fight of faith and given it to God. And when you give it to God, everything else falls into place. But when you try to fight those battles yourself, you lose every time. And you wind up with 7 more destructive demons coming in to try to take you out. We've got to say, Lord, I give this mess to you. I give this chaos to you. I ask you, God, to help me get rid of the stuff because, Lord, I can't do it on my own. We got to give God our situation. He's in charge and everything will work for your good when you trust in the Lord and allow him to fight your battles for you. As we say today and as we wrap it up, oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt, and let us exalt his name together. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful word. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for everything, Father. We thank you for this day that you have made, and we are rejoicing in it and giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you praise. And Father God, as I pray every day, to those that are listening, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the Master Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that our Father God is in charge of everything. Thank him for every day that he gives you. And family, this is it. This is a wrap. I got to go to work, even on my birthday, but I'm grateful to have a job and grateful to work for God. So thank you so much, family, for joining me. And remember, pray. As Sister Carolyn has told us, push, pray until something happens, and watch God work in this world. In Jesus' name, I thank God for you, and I pray this blood covers you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And have a blessed day, and we say, join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in God's word. Be blessed. Take care.